In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. And as we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. Just as we're navigating new norms in work and life, so are our clients. Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. In this season, we look to explore relevant topics to help you and your clients adapt to a new reality. So grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hi, everyone. My name is Ashley Hoth-Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. This is the second of our two-part series on writing an inclusive policy statement. During the last episode, we talked really broad. So we talked about what is an inclusive policy statement and why is it important that you have one. When you do have one, what do you do with it? We really talked about the broad strokes of inclusive policies. So today we're going to switch it up and we're going to talk about the nitty-gritty. So we're going to talk about very specific things to include in your policy statement. We're also going to talk about specific language because that's really, I think, what trips people up the most. Fear to offend often comes out of the words we choose to use and the environments that we live in at home. Maybe they're not necessarily the most modern, and so the language is difficult to take into to a workspace, and we really want to think about the language that we use both at home and in the office and make sure they match. But how do you know what is the right word to choose? So we are going to talk about that today. So let's get started. I'm just going to go through a little bit of a review from the last episode. So what are we going to include in our inclusive policy statement? We're going to make sure that we go back and we reference our mission, vision, and values. And that doesn't mean that you have to take the words directly from the mission, vision, and values. What it means is that you want to make sure that they speak together. So you want to make sure that they are reflective of each other and they're not butting heads. It's important to make sure that your brand and the modernity of your brand is carried through these very large and important pieces of policy for your organization, for the clients, and for the staff. You're going to make sure that in your inclusion statement that you are making a commitment to diversity. And what I mean is it's not just good enough to acknowledge that diversity exists. You really want to make sure that you're showcasing that your organization is working for change, working for inclusion, working for equity. You want to make sure that you mention specific underrepresented groups, and that can be really challenging for people because they're concerned that if they identify some groups, they might miss others. And so one of the ways that we can do that is really just looking at who we're serving and who we're not serving and creating lists where we say things like, our organization serves people of all genders, of races that have historically been excluded, of people who haven't had their voice at the table, indigenous people with indigenous histories who have not been given the opportunity to access our services. So it doesn't have to mean that by identifying somebody that you are excluding another person, and it also means that you're open for that list to grow. But I think especially in this time when we're talking about Black Lives Matter and Every Child Matters, that we make sure that we are doing more than just kind of putting out a welcome mat, that we're saying, no, we are making space for your specific voices to come to our table, and the needs And the identities of those specific voices are going to shift from organization to organization, but do not be afraid to identify specific underrepresented groups who you know you could be serving better or maybe have historically not served well. We're going to make sure that we use positive and inclusive language so that we, and I'm going to identify a few times when people maybe choose words that aren't so inclusive by accident a little bit later. And we're going to talk about, we want to make sure in our inclusion statement that we talk about unique information or benefits for diverse groups. So we're really, you know, identifying how we're serving somebody. We're not just saying you're welcome in this space. We're saying, hey, if you come in, you know, we're going to link you to, you know, to employers. We're going to support, you know, education for all of our clients. We're going to, connect people with their communities. You want to make sure that you're identifying those benefits. A few quick tips that we can get out of the way early. You want to make sure that your inclusive statement is 20 to 75 words. The lovely thing about inclusion statements is that you can feel them. They're very impactful, or good ones are anyway. So it's not like reading your HR manual and reading a vacation policy. It's really this policy that shows the values, the guts of your organization and staff. And so to feel it by choosing 20 to 75 words, we can really make a quick impact. We want to write at an eighth grade reading level or lower. We want to make sure that the people who need to hear us, that they have access to our words. And you can write with great impact at that level. And that's one way to be inclusive right off the bat. You want to consider using a headline or a few key words, something that really draws somebody in and gets them to read the rest of your statement. So great example is Apple. And I talked about them in the last episode. They have the words different together in a headline at the beginning of their inclusion statement. And, you know, you can feel that different together. It's two words, but it makes an impact. And you understand that they're inviting diversity, that they're encouraging diversity, that they want it at their table. So consider what headline really speaks to your clients and your potential clients and your staff and potential staff, community partners. What will really draw people to your table and make them feel included? You want to keep sentences around eight words or less. This increases readability and it increases impact. You know, every time we put a period, we take a breath. And if you think of, you know, those great speeches, things that make you feel things, there's a lot of pauses, those mini moments of reflection. And you want to make sure that that's part of your statement. As said before, you want to include positive language. So I'm just going to shout out a couple words, a list of words that can help you think of using positive language. Use words like grow, freedom, commitment, better, empower, foster, guiding, spirit, give, learn, improve, comfortable, authentic, creating, collaborative. These are words that evoke community, that community spirit. We're going to use language that reflects how individuals and people refer to themselves. I already talked about that a little bit. Maybe that means actually asking people who are involved in the collaboration and creation of your inclusive policy. You're going to ask them how they identify themselves. It's the best way is from the horse's mouth, as they say. Not putting people in boxes. That's all part of inclusion, that, you know, we can give a voice to people that may have been marginalized historically, but we don't put them in the box. They identify how they identify and how they see themselves, and we meet them where they are in that identity. We recognize that there are diverse communities of origin and families of origin, and that, you know, people can have multiple layers of identity. So you want to make sure you're not, you know, creating these very structured boxes. We use language that does not assume a particular experience, and that can be really hard because we still often come from a place of white heterosexual education, and so our language and our day-to-day living often reflects that. And so we just want to make sure that that is not part of our inclusive policy, because we want to break those things down. We want to make sure that we are not assuming certain levels of financial means or again, particular socioeconomic experiences. We want to make sure that we are using words that encompass all genders. And this is very difficult for some people. So we don't want to talk about women and men. We don't want to talk about boys and girls. We're using children. We're talking about people of all genders. Even if you don't understand different genders and the gender spectrum, you want to be sure that you are inclusive and that you are allowing space for everyone to feel welcome at your table. You want to understand the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. And sexual orientation is a term that has been embedded, you know, since the 1980s in a lot of policy. And it was really, you know, modern and inclusive at the time to include that. But gender identity is different, and it also needs to be included and not lumped together. Sexual orientation and gender identity are not the same thing, so do not lump them together. Speaking of gender identity and sexual orientation, you do not want to assume that people are cisgender, so that they are the gender that they were assigned at birth. And you also want to not assume that they're heterosexual. You want to be thoughtful. So often we really like images. We are a world of images, and, you know, Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube, we're all about seeing images these days. So when you decide that you are going to post or promote your inclusive policy, which I hope you do, I hope you scream it from the rooftops, this new thing that you're creating, you want to make sure that the images that are attached to this statement are inclusive and representative. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to continue to promote same old and show maybe the people that historically used our service. We want to make sure that we are showcasing the people that are using our service today and could potentially use the service, so that they are invited in. I'll give you a quick example. When I started with, this isn't an inclusive policy conversation, but it's an example that's very reflective of this discussion. When I started with Literacy Link Niagara, that was almost 16 years ago, I was working on a project where we were able to design a rack card. And the rack card was to showcase and drive people in to literacy programs in the region of Niagara. So they could go to, it had a list of all of our programs on it. And it was in places like Ontario Works, and other social service agencies that might make the referral. And so it was really something that someone would pick up where they wouldn't have a context for adult literacy services. I made what I thought was this beautiful rack card, and it had these people that looked like they were going to be very successful, and they were very put together, and they were in very high-end clothing, you know, that business casual clothing, but very clean. There was men and women, but I believe they were all white. And it was just a really like fresh, modern, hip kind of branding. And when I took it to the executive director at the time, She said to me, "This is wonderful, but we can't use it because it doesn't reflect our clients, and they will think that they cannot access our services because of those pictures, that our service is not for them." So I just want to be really clear. It's so important, the images that we put next to our words. Well, those are my tips and tricks for writing inclusive policy. If you have any questions or if you want someone to take a look at your policy, it's again something I love. So you can always email me at operations@literacylinkniagara.ca, operations@literacylinkniagara.ca, and I would be happy to provide feedback or hear any of the wonderful things you're doing around inclusive policy. So thank you so much for listening, listener, and I look forward to getting connected with you next time.